Blog Talk Radio.
Franchise interviews. From Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia, you're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews. Welcome to Franchise Interviews. An up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship. Listen to interviews with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys. And now, welcome your host, Marty McDermott, and Franchise Interviews.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 16 years now, we've been asking the franchisepreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott. I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and we have a great show today. Well, we're meeting with Lucas Clark, the vice president of franchise development of Ninja Nation. And Ninja Nation is the leading provider of world-class obstacle course arenas and experiences across the country. Each Ninja Nation location offers a variety of obstacles designed to allow participants of all skill levels to get involved, and visitors can look forward to an ever-evolving courses and equipment. We're going to talk to Lucas about that in just a moment on Franchise Interviews. So stick around because we have a great show.
Franchise Teacher.
Would you like to know how to franchise your concept or grow your franchise business?
Meet the experts at Franchise Teacher.
The goal of Franchise Teacher is to teach, coach, consult, and advise. The team of experts at Franchise Teacher will evaluate your business model and present you with a winning business strategy.
Franchise Teacher will help you decide whether or not your concept works and if it's franchisable. Franchise Teacher is proud to have over 30 years of experience in franchising as both franchisees and franchisors.
Franchise Teacher are developers of over a dozen franchise systems, which include brick and mortar as well as home-based concepts of nearly 3,000 combined franchise locations.
Whether you need to add more units or get more customers, Franchise Teacher can help. We will teach.
Franchise Teacher will help you learn our proven system.
Coach.
Franchise Teacher will help you provide a game plan to succeed.
Consult.
Franchise Teacher will make sure you stay on track.
And advise.
Franchise Teacher will help you learn from our over 30 years of experience in franchising as both franchisees and franchisors. Take advantage of our free, no-obligation phone consultation. Simply go to franchiseteacher.com or call us at 561-385-3032.
That's franchiseteacher.com or call us at 561-385-3032.
Hi, this is Connie McDermott, Administrative Assistant for Franchise Interviews, LLC, and you're listening to Franchise Interviews.
Franchise Interviews. From Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia, you're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 16 years now, we've been asking the franchisepreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott. I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and as we were saying earlier, we have a great show. We're meeting with Lucas Clark, the vice president of franchise development of Ninja Nation. And Ninja Nation is a leading provider of world-class obstacle course arenas and experiences across the country. Hi, Lucas. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Great, Marty. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
You're most welcome, Lucas. It's great to have you on the show. We always like to ask our guests, where are you calling from this morning, Lucas?
Yeah, so we're based in Denver, Colorado. Nice little sunny day we got going on here.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, same here I'm in Easton, Pennsylvania, Lucas, so not that far from you guys. So it's another part of the country. it's great. Again, it's great to have you on the show. And, you know, Ninja Nation, I thought, you know, we can kind of go back to the beginning because this is an interesting story on how this whole concept came about. Maybe we could talk a little bit about the history and on how the whole notion came about, Lucas.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we really started off with this idea of being able to take something that's sports-based. Obstacle course racing, the sport of ninjas is growing at a rapid pace, similar to like rock climbing was 15 years ago, and also melding it with family entertainment. So we wanted to do something where it was sports where you could teach kids classes on, you know, balance, speed, agility, grip strength, sort of like getting them moving and having fun while moving, but then also couple that with day camps, birthday parties, in a really like amazing environment, like with really cool lighting and music, and also in a space with obstacles that can move and change and be switched around. One of the things we noticed in the family entertainment space, trampoline parks and other sort of like, you know, fun play spaces, is that they're very static. They don't allow for creativity and for kids to sort of come in and experience new things. So we want to have an ability to change and move that stuff around, and the sport of ninja and obstacle course racing kind of really allowed us the creative space to do that within our arenas, and sort of that's where the notion came from. We wanted to meld sport and entertainment into what we call sporttainment, or a sporttainment concept, which straddles, you know, multiple planes and multiple business opportunities.
How has the show, I guess I imagine American Ninja Warriors has been a big, my father-in-law is obsessed with the show, Lucas, and my son loves the show. So, I mean, how has, I guess the show has probably had some impact, right, on the business model?
Absolutely. I mean, it has, you know, it's also sort of fostered this, you know, sport that kind of has grown alongside the show as well. You know, obviously the show has sort of very big obstacles. It's mainly focused on adults and their stories. And we're really focused on kids and getting kids moving. So it runs nicely in parallel, in terms of like giving us the platform of people to understand the brand and understand the sport. But there's also hundreds of sort of one-off or two-off ninja gyms across the entire country. And this was one of the things that we sort of found out and saw an opportunity in those smaller niche, you know, gyms, is to build something that had a more national and almost like global like presence from the get-go. And when we started Ninja Nation in 2018 here in Colorado, the idea was we wanted to start with something, you know, big, clean, safe, something that could be easily replicated across the entire country, and something that, you know, from a brand standpoint, you'd walk in, even when we had, you know, three locations open, you'd walk in and you would get a feeling that this was a national brand and really something that could be replicated across the country. So, you know, melding those things together, that with the show, as well as with which is the growing sport, you know, there's National Ninja League, World Ninja Leagues that are growing across the country, across the world, and really kind of, you know, settling into that niche as well.
And you grabbed to one of the successful contestants too, didn't you, Lucas? Was it Jeff Britton? I guess he's part of the whole system, isn't he?
Absolutely, yeah. Jeff Britton, our founder and CEO, Wayne Kavanaugh, brought Jeff Britton on board, you know, before he started the company, and really wanted to grow the concept with Jeff's vision as well of having a place where that's dedicated to kids, that's dedicated to sort of their growth, but also has this like fun and entertainment component attached to it. And now Jeff sort of oversees all of the design of the spaces. So, you know, when a franchisee signs on with us, you know, they get Jeff sort of consulting, you know, mind in terms of how to build out the space, how to, you know, make it appealing for parents and safe, but also how to make it like a wow factor, right? You walk into an engineering and you're really sort of blown away by like the size and scale of everything and how it all sort of fits together. And that's all Jeff. Jeff has this amazing design ability to lay out the space. He was a contestant on the show and almost won. He was also a consultant for the show. And so gained a lot of knowledge in terms of, you know, how to put these things together, and then has applied that to building out every Ninja Nation that we've done since, and really kind of maximizing what we call the arena floor space and the experience that kids and adults and everybody has on the arena floor.
That's great. And how about you? You know, when I think, you know, because you have a very successful background too, very impressive background, Lucas. I mean, what appealed to you, you know, when, you know, you got the offer for Ninja Nation?
Yeah. So my background is in multi-unit. I was in restaurants and grocery store chains before that. And also, I've been a lifelong athlete, so a couple of things sort of came together for me. One was the opportunity to build a new multi-unit concept that focused on kids and fitness. I also have three kids, and I, you know, love the sort of fitness and health and wellness space. And combining those two things, you know, building a multi-unit brand that's focused on kids and getting kids moving and getting them excited about movement and excited about, like, moving their bodies and having fun. You know, have a massive sort of obesity epidemic in the United States, and a lot of that is due to inability of movement for people.
Right.
And people, would be surprised if they just spent 30 minutes a day walking or moving or things like that, how much it can improve their overall well-being. And that's especially true in kids. You know, kids need to be in constant sort of movement for their growth, both physically and mentally. And so for me personally, that was part of my personal mission. When the Ninja Nation role came about, I was like, this is something where we can have a really huge impact on a lot of people. And personally, like, I felt really connected to that and wanted to dive in and do that. So, it came at me from a couple different ways, both personal, professional, and, what I like doing in my free time, which is a lot of endurance events and being active and the health and wellness space.
Yeah, I think that's great. And, what also caught my attention too, Lucas, was there's – so it sounds like there's a couple of different models. I guess, you have your brick-and-mortar component, but then there's also – it sounds like there's like a mobile component as well. Maybe you could talk a little bit about that because I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, no, thank you. Thank you for mentioning that. Yeah, that was something that we recently rolled out as its own franchise model. Ninja Nation Mobile and the mobile experience is something we've been doing since day one. We actually started it off as a marketing tactic where we had some extra trussing and some extra courses to put out in front of our brick and mortar location to sort of drive traffic before we opened. And then we started getting requests to rent it out as an event rentals business, essentially going to different places and having people pay for us to set up. And that really kind of snowballed over the last number of years. And we were like, you know what? Our investment level for brick and mortar is a higher investment level in the franchise space. We were looking for something that could be lower and medium sized investment level, and said, let's spin off Ninja Nation Mobile and have it be its own thing. And it is a different business model. It's more of an event rentals business where you're selling to event planners, you're selling to schools, you're selling to, anybody that's looking to have an event where they want to bring lots of friends lots of family and kids and things like that. So we sort of spun that off and now we're offering the franchise model for Ninja Nation Mobile, which is a $250,000 all-in investment and has some amazing profitability attached to it with some really, really good and strong revenue numbers that we ran last year as it's a standalone business in Denver. And so it's really just kind of taken off, and we've seen a huge interest. We've yet to award any deals, but we've seen a huge interest in outreach, and we're confident that within the next couple of months we're going to land 3 or 4 deals for territories across the country. So it's a cool offering and once again, a great experience, a great spectacle, sort of encapsulating sport and entertainment. It's got this great presence to it. It's a very big course. When it shows up at an event or a party or a school event, it really wows the crowd and brings something that nobody's ever seen before. It's not an inflatable. It's not something that's small and ground obstacle based. It's got this really cool presence to it.
You mentioned to it. I mean, it's it's fun, Lucas. But I think I caught somewhere in an interview with you in the past, you talked about something like falling forward. I think that was you, and I thought that was very clever.
Yeah.
So there's another benefit behind this too, it's building confidence too, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. Confidence, perseverance, determination, one of the key components for kids sort of overcoming obstacles, which is something that we talk about all the time, is that sort of like idea of failing forward. And when you fall down, it's really just about getting up and be like, okay, I just learned something from that time that I fell down, and now I'm going to try it this way and this way, and making those little tweaks, and that in your brain that sort of helps those synapses fire in a different way, where you start to become that, like, your body is the problem solver, and you're working through whatever comes at you. And I think that's a really important lesson, not only for kids but also for adults. It's like you can do things that you didn't think were possible, with enough repetition and enough attempts at tweaking the model. But you have to get up there and be willing to try. And I think that's one of those great things about obstacle course racing, the sport of ninja, and what we do on a day in and day out basis, whether it's obvious or not to the parents and kids. It's something that is innate in just that failing forward. If you fall down, you're like, okay, I'm going to make a tweak, I'm going to get back up. And so, it's a great thing to see happen in real life, but it's also sort of like, you know, in a longer term sense, it's really helping kids as well as the adult participants that we have kind of, you know, progress and get better as humans and grow, you know?
So there, I imagine, like, you know, if I was at one of these things, I would, I'd want to get involved too, Lucas, you know? So, I mean, do you find that the adults get involved too? Or I imagine, you know, kids, of course, are your main target audience, right? But I imagine, is there like an adult market there as well?
Yeah, I would say, you know, if we break it up into the mobile and to the in arena, you know, at the mobile, we actually do have a lot of adult participants that sort of jump in. We do adult activities and specific events for adults. So they definitely, like, you know, take a crack at the course from a mobile standpoint. In the arena, yes, we've got a lot of kids. We also see a lot of kids sort of bringing their parents out on the floor and challenging their parents to certain things. You know, it's you know, parents are great with that. They get out there on the floor and they try something. And they're like, okay, I think I could do this. And they, you know, you can see their sort of comfortability level, you know, with their kids out there and trying different things. I do think there's an adult market for it. You know, like I said, we are 95% kids, but we do have, you know, adult classes a couple times a week where, you know, adults come together where it's sort of after the kid hours and they're able to find community and camaraderie and that kind of thing. There are also a lot of adults that do Spartan races and do Tough Mudders and things, and they don't have a place to test out and train for some of the obstacles that they'll encounter within those events. So we often see some adults coming in and you know, I call it cramming for the test. They'll be like, oh, I have a Tough Mudder in 4 weeks, and I'm going to come to Ninja Nation, you know, twice a week for the next 4 weeks to kind of get used to, like, going through these obstacle courses. And
that's great.
And so we see some of that popping up as well. So that's been pretty cool to see. But, yeah, adults get out there. They mix it up and have some fun for sure.
That's wonderful. How is how does technology play a role in the business model, Lucas?
Yeah, I mean, technology is, I mean, kind of an ever-present for us. You know, we, you know, our waiver system is all online. People can just fill out waivers on their phone, whether it's at mobile or at events in the arena. We do, you know, we do bounce back surveys from a mobile standpoint. People get a text message or an email follow-up after they've visited, you know, asking them about their visit, and we track a net promoter score based on that from guests. And that's something that goes into our sort of KPIs and tracking. You know, all of our check-in stuff is all online and app based through Mindbody. Same thing with you know, booking a birthday party. You know, if you want to book a birthday party for your kid, you know, you can do that all, you know, from your phone and all remotely. Even like payroll systems and everything is really like technology and app heavy as well, which is great. We also communicate internally with our teams in terms of scheduling and training. We do all that within a Ninja Nation University platform and really are able to sort of help push out messaging and push out new components through technology. So it's really, I mean, we are, you know, extremely tech reliant at the business and really helping it kind of smooth over the operations and make it as seamless as possible. That way, really, our team can focus on the experience when they're in person too. So you're not having to deal with a bunch of, you know, paperwork or anything like that.
Right,
it's really just
like
come in, check in, and then have fun. And that's a huge thing for us.
Yeah, I think so too. And, you know, I'm thinking about the industry. I mean, you mentioned, like, you know, birthday parties, kids. I mean, I guess it's safe to say, I mean, you're part of a pretty big industry, but it seems also that the industry continues to grow, doesn't it, Lucas?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think the last time I was researching it, you know, late last year, family entertainment, sports concepts is $20 billion industry.
Yeah,
and, you know, growing at a rapid rate.
Yeah.
You know, I just think that even myself, since seeing like kids in sports and things like that, what's progressed over the last 10, 15 years has really ratcheted up in terms of quality of programming, whether it's, you know, soccer or football or lacrosse or gymnastics, you know, but just sort of the ratcheting up of the programming and sort of the professionalism of a lot of these organizations has been growing. And I think that that's just a nod to the marketplace really kind of growing as a whole. And we've seen that in the last 5 years that we've been in business, just the growth in kids sports and kids events across the board has really kind of helped our growth as well.
Yeah, I agree. What's been one of the most interesting things that's happened to you since being part of Ninja Nation, Lucas? I'm sure, you know, you have hundreds of stories, but does anything stand out in your time with the organization?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, a lot of the stories and impact on kids' growth, and, you know, kids mm-hmm. who come in, you know, on a regular basis, whether that's once a month or twice a week. And just seeing, you know, now we've been open for 5 years, you know, seeing some of these changes in these kids and getting stories from the parents on, you know, kids who, you know, maybe had some behavioral issues or, right. you know, were kind of sort of in a negative headspace and really kind of growing through that. And then seeing some of these kids who maybe when they started or were 8 years old and now they're 13 and,
right.
you know, they're still doing stuff within the sport of Ninja, but they've also moved into doing things in, you know, track and field or softball
mm-hmm.
or other sports and
right.
hearing their parents sort of talk about how formative their experience at Ninja Nation was in terms of their growth, not only as an athlete or as a person interested in sports, but also just their growth in school and growth in other areas as well. And I think that's from an impact standpoint, like that's what we're really going for is having
yeah.
that impact with kids and sort of packaging that health and wellness and body movement into a fun entertainment space.
Yeah, I think so too. Maybe we can talk a little bit about franchising, Lucas, and what types of characteristics, you know, because you meet with a lot of prospective franchisees, what's important to you or what kind of characteristics or traits do you look for when you're meeting with a prospective entrepreneur or franchisee?
Yeah, you know, I think that I think we look for folks who are, one are self-starters for sure, people who mm-hmm. like really like, you know, have in their past like really kind of built themselves up professionally and kind of getting after it. We look for people who are interested in being in the space of youth sports, youth enrichment.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a big thing for us too, is like,
yeah.
you know, people who get the message and the methodology of like seeing growth
right.
in kids and having that be an important factor in their life. You know, signing on as a franchisee is a 10-year commitment and it's a big sort of lift in terms of getting your space open or your business rolled out. And we want to kind of, you know, make sure that we're aligned culturally with those folks as well.
Right.
You know, we look for people who also like think in a multi-unit, you know, mindset, where they sort of come out of the gates and they're like, oh, I could totally see, you know, doing two or three or four of these in a given territory. You know, I like that sort of that hunger and that
mm-hmm.
sort of mindset,
right.
and being able to take concepts and kind of grow. So I'd say those are kind of the three main components
mm-hmm.
that we look for.
Yeah, I think that's important. And how would the training work then, Lucas? I mean, would they typically, you know, if you like them, they like you. I mean, and they want to come on board as a franchisee. Would they typically come out to headquarters for training? How does that all work?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So yeah, after signing the franchise agreement, we kind of work through, you know, location and real estate, you know, on the brick and mortar side of things.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, we do a very extensive, you know, deep dive training, which is about 80% hands-on, 20% classroom, for about a week and a half out here in
mm-hmm.
Denver. We have our second facility that we opened, we actually built in a little training center in the back conference room area. We call it a hero room, and we
mm-hmm.
you know, do some training there. But then we also do a lot of training out on the floor and a lot of training at the front desk, and really
right.
kind of focusing on that guest experience. You know,
yeah.
you can teach a lot of the sort of mechanics of all the business, but you
mm-hmm.
know, really it's out there about that getting out there and engaging the guest. And we do that with the franchise owner, as well as their arena manager that they've hired and their coach. And we do it as a sort of a team activity, because training and being together is a pivotal team building activity for that franchise owner and their management team. And so we want to make that as you know, fun and enjoyable as possible and really kind of build that camaraderie.
What's a typical day like for a Ninja Nation franchisee? I'm sure every day is a little bit different, but there's also some similarities for each day as well, Lucas. And how would you describe a typical day? I guess Mondays are probably different from Saturdays, aren't they?
Yeah, no, for sure. I would say you know, for the franchise owner, you know, that person is really focused on, you know, driving team morale and team culture, you know, mm-hmm. to the arena manager, and the arena manager is the one sort of managing the day-to-day. But, you know, let's talk about this sort of business in a day-to-day standpoint. You know, during right. the school year, a Ninja Nation arena will, you know, we open usually at around 3 o'clock if we're doing mm-hmm. homeschool classes for homeschool kids right. at the arena. And then, you know, for when kids get out of school, we have classes that start at 4 o'clock and we're open all the way till 7 during the school year, 4 to 7, Monday through Friday. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes we do some events on Friday evenings, a little bit later. We'll do parents' night out, or we'll do a Nerf battle, you know, special events, you know, once a couple times a month. And then we kind of roll into Saturdays and Sundays, which is, you know, really heavy birthday parties, starting around 10 o'clock. We've got classes before that, like, you know, some of our traditional, you know, development classes before that. But then really it's birthday parties and open gym for, you know, all of Saturday and Sunday. We also have some time slots reserved from 6 to 8 if people want to do what they call an own the arena birthday party, where, you know, we're closed to the public, but from 6 mm-hmm. to 8, if you want to have your private party at Ninja Nation, you can do that and just kind of take over the place. So we yeah. have some private wow. event time space for that as well. And then, yeah, Sunday birthday parties and classes in the morning, and then sort of open those extended hours as well. So, and then that kind of switches during the summertime when kids are out of school. We actually do mm-hmm. these amazing day drop-off day camps Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
So, you know, parents can, you know, drop kids off and then head to work, and we have amazing activities. It's not just all like physical stuff all day, because that would really wear kids out, but we do
right.
arts and crafts. We do Nerf battles, we do, you know, classes, we do open gym time, we do, you know, fun games and play time. So, you know, the camps are a really big hit over the summer, during spring break, during winter break, things like that. So it's an environment of fun, and mm-hmm. really, the franchise owner can be in there as much as they'd like, but really it's the manager that's kind of managing that day-to-day operations, which is a great model for us.
That's, like you said, it's a fun franchise, isn't it, Lucas? You know, I mean, there's all these different types of franchise opportunities out there, and this is, a fun franchise to be able to put a smile on kids' faces. It's a great experience, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, we always say we're in the business of having fun, and
yeah.
you know, when you walk into an invitation, right. it's like high energy. You know, there's like kids, like, you know, screaming and having fun and screams of joy, and, you know,
yeah.
people running around, and parents laughing and watching the kids and taking videos
right.
and you know, that kind of stuff. So it's got this sort of like great energy and great vibe to it, in the arena space.
That's wonderful. So I have to ask you, Lucas, because, you know, you are a successful entrepreneur and you have a lot of experience. And when I have someone on the show like yourself, you know, I like to ask the question, you know, there's so many different franchise opportunities out there. So, I mean, from everything you've learned up to this point, what advice would you give to our listeners in their quest to buy a franchise, considering, you know, that there's like there's like 3,500 different franchise systems in the United States. So it's a little bit confusing
yeah.
in the beginning. So from everything you've learned up to this point, what advice would you give to our listeners then in their quest to buy a franchise?
Yeah. I mean, I would say, you know, do your research and really mm-hmm. sort of find out like what really like excites you about
right.
the business.
Right.
You know, I follow that ignited passion. I would say that's really the key, is that when you find something that you really are excited about, you know, trust your gut on it. You know that it's going to be, you know, it's a process to
mm-hmm.
get a business open and to,
right.
to launch a business.
Right.
But the passion and the purpose behind that will sort of like, you know, will smooth over, you know, any sort of bumps in the road, and you
right.
you need to be able to have that fire and keep that fire lit for whatever excites you, whether that's, you know, painting or garages
mm-hmm.
or,
right.
or pets or
sure.
fitness, you know, maybe boutique fitness, or, you know, something having to do with kids and youth enrichment. I think that though it's really kind of, you know, what gets you excited and what gets you. We get your brain sort of turning and thinking about it. I mean, when we talk to some of our franchisees that we've awarded franchises to, you know, they're like, they're so excited that they are thinking about the business, you know, all the time. And they're like, oh,
mm-hmm.
you know, I can't wait till we do this, and I want to do this,
right.
and I want to make this tweak and this update. And like, that's like and they're excited to get in there and talk to the guests, and they're excited to continue to work on the business. And I say that that's, that's such a great thing to see. And
sure.
For anybody
right.
out there looking to build a business, you know, ignite that passion, find
right.
that purpose, and launch yourself towards that.
Yeah, I think that's great advice, Lucas. So if you could look into a crystal ball, you know, it sounds like it's a really exciting time for Ninja Nation. I mean, what are the plans for the future, Lucas? I mean, if the crystal ball was like 1 year, 3 years, or 5 years down the road, you know, where do you see the organization?
Yeah, I mean, I think that from a one-year standpoint, you know, we're really working on building out the units we've awarded thus far. So we've got 16 awarded units that we're working on building out. You know, we're shooting for 4 to 5 to open this year, and then kind
mm-hmm.
of, you
wow.
know, the rest will sort of come in succession after that. And then continue to find, I'd say for the 3-year goal, like continue to find, you know, franchise partners and franchisees that we want to grow with in that multi-unit space, both in mobile and in the arena. You know, we don't,
right.
I don't really look at it in terms of numbers. I mean, we have some sort mm-hmm. of nice goals in terms of, like, you know, trying to build, you know, a certain number a year and
right.
get a certain number
right.
a year open. But
right.
really it's putting those people in the right places from a franchisee standpoint and
yeah.
then building on top of that. I do think that in 5 years, you know, I would love to be able to go international in 5 years. So build an amazing base here in the United States over the next 3 to 5 years. And then five
right.
years really kind of looking at launching into international space, which I think really we've been getting a lot of interest already in that. And I'm excited to do that. But I also know that we want to make sure we have a great solid base here and know
right.
all the ins and outs and have seen a lot of interaction with franchisees and development before we kind of go international. So I'd say that's kind of what we're looking for
right.
future planning.
I think that's great. What's the best way, Lucas, for our listeners to get more information on Ninja Nation? Of course, as the franchise opportunity, but even the service itself, are there any websites you can kind of direct them to?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, NinjaNation.com is our sort of overarching website. You can find
mm-hmm.
locations, you can find information about mobile, and then NinjaNationFranchise.com for all franchising information. And if you're interested in learning more about the franchise, you can fill out the information there, and you'll get a call from me. So I would love to talk to you.
That's
about
great.
It.
That's fantastic. Well, I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed talking to you today, Lucas, and I'd already like to invite you back over the next year or two as you continue to grow, because I think this is a fun, wonderful, and exciting opportunity for franchisees.
Well, thank you, Marty. I really appreciate it, and thank you for having me on, and I would love to come back and talk some more about Ninja Nation with you.
Thanks so much, Lucas. This has been my pleasure. We'll be right back with more Franchise Interviews. Coming up in our next segment, we'll be playing a clip from our Great Quotes in Franchising podcast right here on Franchise Interviews.
Franchisers, are you looking to reach aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? Are you looking to reach a highly educated audience on franchising? Franchise Interviews, an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts and attorneys, and our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising. For each podcast, you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, we've been hosting Franchise Interviews now over 8 years and over 400 shows, and during that time, we've had some incredible quotes on our show. Today, you're going to get to hear from Chris Simic, who is the founder of FranchiseTeacher.com, and Chris has over 30 years of business and franchise experience as an independent business owner, a franchisee, and a franchisor. And Chris said something very profound that we haven't heard on our show in over 8 years. He mentioned that you have to almost work harder to fail at franchising than to succeed in franchising, and he explains why.
Most people, about 90% I think I've seen, buy a business other than they first looked at.
Wow, that's amazing.
That's interesting, isn't it? I mean, that's a big number too, isn't it, Chris? You know, that, you know, most people, they go in with these certain expectations and they come out with something different, you know, and I find that fascinating.
I absolutely, it never ceases to astound me, but I think that speaks to the value of franchising as a business model and a business method, because people don't have to be in something just because they know it. And quite candidly, sometimes getting involved in a business that you would rather do that you were not involved in allows you the luxury of taking a new career path and to develop something you never would have had the opportunity to had it not been, you know, systematized and prioritized for you. You know, in franchising, it's said that you have to really almost work harder to fail than to succeed, because if you have a good franchise system, if you follow directions, you have to almost purposely not follow them to not do well.
That's true. That's fantastic. We have this great quote in franchising. I think we're going to put that one in there, Chris. I think that's very original, and it's very true. What advice would you give to our listeners? You know, we find that most of them, they're just beginning their search to buy a franchise, Chris, and we find that, you know, most of them just simply, they don't even know where to begin, like you were saying. What advice would you give to them?
I do, when I speak to people looking at franchise, I give them three different pieces of advice. One, make sure you're looking for a business for the right reason. Now, a lot of people have things happen in their life. They lose a job or something happens, and they react and maybe say, well, okay, maybe I'll go buy a business. That may not be the reason to do it versus having the luxury of selectivity that here's my opportunity that was created by some adversity. Second thing is that they have to make sure that they are able to be franchisees, that not everybody is designed to be able to follow the systems, procedures, and the processes it takes to be a successful franchise owner. And then I tell them quite candidly is pick a couple of the industries and the price ranges that may have interest to you, and then kind of pin down from there, either using the resources of a consultant or a broker or a team member, or on their own, either way. But I think that if they take their time, follow the steps, and do it for the right reasons, they'll be on a much smoother pathway to success in owning their own business.
That's well said. What's in the future then for Franchise Teacher, Chris? I mean, where do you see the company 3 to 5 years down the road?
Well, Marty, we've been extremely fortunate and blessed that the business has been around, you know, through Century Franchise Group for many years, and our new franchiseteacher.com has taken off. We're representing right now, seven-plus brands. I think in 5 years our focus will really be even more fine-tuned. As the consumer or the prospective business owner is looking for more and more specific information, breaking down to teach, coach, consult, and advise, I think will be a way for us to assist people in what they need. You know, people, again, don't know what they don't know, but I think information overload sometimes discourages people too early. They say, this is too much for me to process.
Mm.
But we can break it down into bite-sized pieces. I think more and more people, especially the younger generation, who are looking for the advice and the information they want when they want it, I think is, you know, going to do nothing more than continue. Then our next business venture, which launches at the end of this year, is looking to capture all the different franchise brands around the world and put them into one place. So we're looking forward to a future. And franchising is going nowhere but growing. You know, as you
said,
not a long time too, the number of franchise opportunities, and the world's getting to be a smaller place. I think you're going to find a lot opportunities coming in and going out of different marketplaces and different countries accessible to more people.
That's fantastic. What's the best way, Chris, for our listeners to get more information on FranchiseTeacher.com? Obviously, FranchiseTeacher.com, but any numbers you'd like them to call or email addresses?
Well, actually, we appreciate www.FranchiseTeacher.com. And my business partner, Dave, and I offer them the free one-hour consultation. Fill out the form and take advantage of it.
That's fantastic. I want to thank you again, Chris, for finally coming on the show. You know, I've been following your career for a long time now, you know, and I have just been very impressed with everything that you've done, you know. So when I saw this, I mentioned to you, we don't typically call people to come on the show, you know, but I had to have you specifically on the show. So it was an honor and a privilege to have you on the show today.
Marty, ditto, and again, congratulations on your PhD, doctor. I have read your thesis, and I would recommend it reading if people can get
information. I really appreciate that you read it, too, because that's an honor coming from you, so that's fantastic. Well, I want to thank you again, Chris.
Thank you.
We'll be right back with more.
Franchise Interviews. From Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia, you're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews.